If you turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus 11. The chapter is a short chapter, only 10 verses. Let's read through the whole chapter to start. Exodus chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. I'll give you another. Beginning in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, Thus says the Lord, About midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant, who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, Get out, and all the people who follow you. After that I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Pharaoh, Moses will not heed you, so that my wonders shall be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all things, and we request that you'd open our hearts up and you'd minister to us through your word. I pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit to speak, to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. May we hear, may we believe, may we obey. Bless tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we come to the last plague. There was 9 others, and if you count the sign of the serpent, 10 others. And here, finally, the last one. And you think about, it's been rough up until this point for Moses, for Aaron, for all the Israelites, for all the Egyptians, for that matter. And there's been this cycle where God would, through Moses, through Aaron, say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And he would say, no. If you don't let them go, then this will happen. And he'll say, no. And then the plague comes. And they come again. Let my people go, or else this will happen. And he says, no. And it happens. And sometimes he says, I'm sorry. Please make it go away. And it goes away, and he doesn't let them go. And then again, let my people go, or this will happen. And again, and again, and again, this cycle. And the people, through it, it's getting intense, the opposition is raised, everyone's sweating, man, this is rough, this is tough. At some points along the way, they say, it was better before you even came, Moses. It was tough as the cycles continued. I want to talk this evening about those cycles, those series of events that really, at the beginning, there's a certain point where we're at. And that at the end of the cycle, everything seems the same. And then there's another cycle, and then there's another cycle. Like these plagues. That Israel could say, hey, yeah, all these miracles, all these wonders, all these judgments have happened, but we're still slaves. Nothing's changed. We're still here, and everything's the way it was since the beginning. After all these plagues, after all these cycles. And these cycles are common in our lives. Turning your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you go right to the center of the Bible, you'll probably hit Psalms. And then you go 2 books over, You'll pass Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is next. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he recognized many of these cycles in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. We'll start from the beginning, verse 1. Read a few verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor, in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down. It hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again to its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. These cycles we see. Every morning the sun comes up, and it goes down. And then it comes up the next day, and it goes down. A lot of these cycles in nature. Boaz mentioned how he's working, and he feels like he's not getting anywhere. We all can relate to that one. That's what he said. Solomon, what profit does he get for all his labors? A man. It's like a big cycle. You make it, you spend it, you make it, you spend it. Yep, yeah, you mop it again. And then at the end of the cycle, it seems everything's exactly the same way as the beginning of the cycle. And I'm sure this is how the Israelites are feeling. After plague, after plague, after plague, after plague, we're still slaves. It could be rough. I thought of another story in the Bible, Joshua. God, the angel of the Lord, came to Joshua, probably a theophany of Jesus Christ, commander of the armies of the Lord. And he told Joshua, you're going to take Jericho. I want you to gather the people, get the ark, get the priests to blow the trumpets, and march around the city of Jericho one time. And then the next day, march around the city of Jericho again. 6 days, and on the seventh day, march 7 times. And then you'll cry out to the Lord, and the walls will fall down, and you'll take the city. Now, when Joshua told his people, he didn't give them all the details. He didn't tell them how many days they were going to march. Just like the Lord didn't tell Moses how many plagues there would be. He just said, okay, everybody, let's go march around the city. They marched around the city, and then they went back to the camp. It's like, nothing's changed. The next day, let's go march around the city. Nothing's changed. And he said, I want the priest to blow the trumpets and don't cry out until you hear the signal. The third day and the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day. And they're like, I'm sure, tested. This is just happening again and again. But then there was the seventh day and something was a little different. They marched 7 times. And then Joshua gave the signal. And though the cycle had repeated 7 times, they were ready and they shouted. And the walls came down, and there was a change. Well, here we find in chapter 11 of the Exodus, there's something different. The Lord tells Moses, one more plague, and then it's all over. And then he will let you go. He will drive you out altogether. The cycles will end, and you will be free. You know, the results of these cycles and series in our lives can cause frustration. I'm sure Joshua's people struggled with it, marching around the city, the Israelites during this time. And we, day after day, we can, in the cycles as we see no results, we can get frustrated. They can cause frustration or doubt. Nothing's going to change. I've seen this 100 times. God gives us all these promises, but we begin to doubt because of cycles. There can be depression because of cycles. Jesus, speaking of his return. Interesting, that's an interesting point to bring up when we talk about these cycles. Jesus in the Bible clearly talks about his return. And yet, they've said that all along and he's never come back. We go through these cycles, people get excited, they think it's coming soon, and he doesn't come. Cycle after cycle. Jesus said, Matthew 24:48-49. He said, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. See, sometimes these cycles can cause frustration, and they can cause us to act out in wrong ways. I'm just going to beat my fellow servants. I'm just going to eat and drink. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to do what I know is wrong. I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to wait anymore. It just happens again and again. I've seen it before, and nothing changes. These cycles can cause these things. But you know, as we look at even the cycles in nature, though they repeat and they repeat, cycles eventually come to an end. You see, even the sun coming up and going down, it's burning a little bit of its gas each day. It ain't going to burn forever. The ozone layer slowly eroding away, the gravity slowly changing, everything is moving to a point where all the cycles must change. And that's the thing about cycles. It seems like they come again and again and again. And they could come 100,000,000,000 times. But there's going to be an end to the cycle. And that's what I want to look at today. These Israelites, it was plague after plague. But then there came the last plague. As Joshua's men marched and marched, then there came the day where the walls fell down. And as we struggle with these cycles in our lives, may we not give up, get frustrated and doubt and depressed and just live like the world, give in to sin because of the cycles that don't seem to give any results. I think there's some lessons in this chapter. First of all, speaking specifically of God's promise. Now, God promised. He didn't tell Moses, he didn't tell the Israelites how many plagues there would be. But he promised them in the very beginning, he will let you go. You will be free. And then the cycles, and the cycles, and the cycles. But God's promise stands. Joshua, at the end of his life, said, not one thing that the Lord promised failed. His word stands. When it comes to his promises and his words, no matter how many cycles we go through, it's going to stand. It's going to come about. Scripture in Isaiah. Peter quotes it. I read this in my daily bread yesterday. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 through 11. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 11. And verse 7. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. Let me just stop there. The word of our God stands forever. When he says something, no matter how many cycles you go through, where it doesn't seem like that thing is coming. This is life. It's not just you. It's not just me. God promises us things. We read it. We know. It's what it says. And then these events and series and cycles in our life occur. And at the end of each cycle, the thing that God promised has not come about fully. And we go through it again and again and again. And there's that test. There's that time. Life is a series of cycles as tests. What will we do through it? I see some lessons here in chapter 11 of Exodus. If we turn back to that. In verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. This is the last one, Moses. This is it. And I think we can learn as we hear God's word and we know that there's going to be an end. There's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a last cycle for various things. When it comes to God's word and God's promise, it will come to pass. We can renew our hope and believe. And this may be the last cycle. This may be it. And if it's not, it will come eventually. See, if the people gave up and they stopped listening to the Lord, they could have continued in slavery. And though the cycles occurred and occurred, there came the last cycle, and they said, okay, what do we got to do? We're going to look at next week, the Passover. They had things they had to do, and they did it because they still had hope that they were going to be free. They hadn't given up. There'd been 9, 10 cycles of it not working, but they didn't give up yet. And oh, that we would renew our hope in God's Word and in God's promises. If it hasn't happened the last million times, it feels. And at the end of each cycle, everything seems the same, that we would still believe. We would still have hope. No matter what it looks like, no matter what I've gone through, God's Word will come about. And what He's promised me, I will receive. One day, and each time we march around the city, this might be the day, the walls are going to come down. Because Joshua told him, when you hear the signal, shout. See, we got to be ready. When that signal comes, when the time comes, that last plague, we need to be ready. Hope, believing. Then in verse 2, the Lord said, speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. The King James says, borrow. Almost sounds like they were ripping them off. Hey, can I borrow something? And they take off, never to return. But really, ask is a better translation here. They weren't ripping them off. And really, these were like wages. They served as slave without pay for 430 years. And yet, here, Moses told the people to ask their neighbors, hey, give me some gold and silver. What's due me? It's amazing how things look here, where they're giving the slaves, here, take the gold, take the silver. God works. But I see here that they were preparing for it. See, they still had hope that it would come, but they obeyed the action that God told them to do. You're going to be free. You may have heard that time and time again, and it seemed like it never happened, but I want you to go, and I want you to get ready. I want you to obey. I want you to go get gold and silver. See, that gold and silver, they were going to use, once they were free in the wilderness, to build a tabernacle, an Ark of the Covenant, the things that the Lord was freeing them for. So they were obedient. And oh, that we, as we go through cycles and series, oh, that we would obey. We would continue to have hope and believe, and we would continue to obey. We wouldn't get the attitude, God said that, I've tried that 100 times. And it doesn't seem to change things. No, we would have hope. I'm going to do it again. His word's going to come to pass. I'm going to obey today. I'm going to keep obeying. I'm going to keep believing. Verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Now, the next point I want to look at is, although we were talking about these cycles and it went through the 9 plagues and they still were slaves, and I'm sure they felt like nothing's changing. And yet, things were changing. Because you look at the beginning when Moses first came before Pharaoh and said, the God of the Hebrews, God of Israel, sent me, and he wants me to tell you, let my people go. The way the kingdom looked then and the way the kingdom looks here in 11 is completely different. We see things have changed. For one thing, Moses now has a ton of respect. Everybody looks at Moses completely different. See, each plague, there was little changes. And it was hard to see along the way that anything was changing. But then when you compare the beginning with the end, you see there's a complete difference. See, each time there was a plague, Moses said it would happen and it happened. The people say, well, maybe this is true. And they gained more and more respect for Moses. Till in the end, they were ready to do what Moses had said. They were ready to give their gold and their silver. In fact, many believe that some of the Egyptians left with the Israelites. We'll look in the next chapter how it says, the mixed multitude went. Who was the mixed multitude? Things were changing. They were gaining more and more respect for Moses. They were gaining more and more fear of God. See, it didn't seem like it along the way. Each plague came and went and everything seemed the same, but a little by little, they were starting to, maybe this God is bigger than all our gods. Maybe we should do what he says. They were gaining more and more fear of God. They were different. Again, at the beginning, they didn't want Israel to leave. At the end, they did. All the servants of Pharaoh, all the Egyptians, we'll see in the next chapter, they asked them, they desired them to leave. See, little by little, their disposition, their heart, their desires were changing. Didn't seem like it along the way, but there was a change taking place. The result of the cycles. It seemed like through nothing's happening, nothing's changing. Everything is the same every single time. And yet, there's little differences. And there's the cycles are necessary. See, we can back up from a story and read a few chapters, the years that pass by. We can say, well, that makes sense. That worked out good. But then when we live our life, and cycle after cycle, series after series happens, and the thing that we... that God has promised us, the thing that we want to come to pass doesn't, and it seems like everything seems the same. It's hard to believe then. It's hard to see how it makes any sense. It's hard to see God's plan and purpose and the little work that he's doing. Why did I have to go through that cycle? Why did that have to happen again? I've been here so many times. Why doesn't God just fix this? Why does God put me through this? And it's hard to see why. But in the end, it'll look different. And we'll see. There was a little reason there, wasn't there? That makes sense. There were results. There were things changing. Respect for Moses, the hearts of the people, the fear of God, Egyptians and Pharaoh's servants. But there was another result of this cycle after cycle after cycle. And that was the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. He hardened his heart. He hardened his heart. He hardened his heart. The Lord hardened his heart. The Lord hardened his heart. And Pharaoh's heart was hard the first time. But by the end of the 9th, 10th cycle, Pharaoh's heart was very, very, very hard. See, that was something that was taking place. His heart was hardening more and more. And Pharaoh is an example. Again, he hardened his own heart, and then God strengthened it. And Pharaoh is an example for all of us to see of a hard heart, and really of mature rebellion. See, some people are examples of where certain roads will take you all the way to the end. We have these examples like Pharaoh. Man, he had a really, really hard heart. And then we see our hard heart. And we could see that's where it heads. That's what it looks like in its maturity. Now we see on the news every night these people that murdering people and killing people and doing all kinds of crazy, wicked, evil things. And they're examples of mature wickedness. And we see where the road will lead, the road of lust, sexual desire, unbridled lewdness. And we see, man, look at that down there. That's mature. That's terrible. And hatred and bitterness. And we see examples down the road at the very end of mature anger and bitterness. And man, that's terrible. And Pharaoh is one of these examples of mature. And really, at the heart of the matter, it could be lust, it could be greed, it could be anger or bitterness, but really it's all in the heart, and it's all hardening your heart toward God. And here we have this example of this mature rebellion and hardening against God. And it's not inviting. It's not a pleasant example. No one wants to be like Pharaoh. No one wants to grow up and get to the point where he sacrifices his own son irrationally and brings destruction on the whole kingdom. No one wants to be like that. But it's an example for us to see. You don't want to go there this way. This is what it looks like down the road. Mature rebellion. the result of the hardening heart. And again, it was irrational. After all of these cycles, Pharaoh had to expect this plague to come about. Moses said, the firstborn of Egypt will die from the Pharaoh's son. Your son will die, Pharaoh. All the other plagues had come true. Pharaoh had to know this was going to happen. It was irrational for him not to let the people go. And yet he did it. And you know what? It's an example that a hard heart toward the Lord, where it leads, is irrational. You turn away from the Lord and you do what you know the Lord doesn't want. You harden your heart, you turn away and you go in the other direction. It leads down a road of irrational decisions. Where in the end, you do things that are stupid. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. We see that's where it leads. Not only irrational, but destructive. It wasn't just his son, but every firstborn in all of Egypt, even the animals. Destruction throughout the whole kingdom. That's where it leads. We see it in Pharaoh and so many historical figures and examples in Scripture and on the news every night and people we know. That road leads to destruction. It destroys everything good. You turn away from God, you harden your heart, you do it that way. It, in its maturity, it leads to destruction. It's not a good thing. And finally, the last plague was a plague of death. And that's the ultimate end of hardening your heart toward the Lord and going down that road. The end of that road is death. Romans tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. James says that our desire leads us to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, leads to death. That's the end of it. Solomon tells us in Proverbs, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. See, that example that Pharaoh gives of a mature hard heart is really an example of your way and my way at its end. My way at its end is death. If I do it my way, if you do it your way, at the end, there's death. See, there's God's way, and then there's our way. And these cycles of plagues and judgments, they were accomplishing something, and for Pharaoh, it was maturing his hard heart and his rebellion, his wickedness and evil desires. The results of the cycle. Irrational, destructive, and death. That's all I had for this evening. I just have a conclusion. How are life's cycles affecting you? We're all going through cycles. And they happen again and again, and it seems like there's no progress sometimes. Seems like there's no end, there's no answer. It's the same in the beginning and the end. Everything's the same. But what is being accomplished through it? Is it accomplishing, like Pharaoh, a harder and harder heart? Or are you still believing, hoping, obeying, like the Israelites? Do you recognize maybe some of the purpose God has in it? What he's trying to do and teach? I want to encourage us all. And, you know, I'm not, you know, preaching without including myself. I think of myself and my own cycles. I get frustrated sometimes when I look at my own sin. And I see it reoccurring, the same sin. And, you know, whether it be pride, am I ever going to get over this? Again, I'm still thinking this, I'm still doing this. Disrespect, lust, is this still going on? Is it still not over? How many times do I have to learn this? When will it ever end? Now, I don't want you to think that we're going to get to the point where we're perfect, because we won't. I was reading the scripture about how creation groans for it to, for redemption. All of creation, the whole planet, is under the curse of sin, and it groans, it wants to be renewed. And so our bodies. We groan. We want to get the new body. Because as long as we're in this body, we're going to have physical limitations. We're going to get old. We're going to get sick. You're going to get poison oak. You're going to lose your voice. It's going to happen. Now, God can heal. God can overcome your physical weakness, but your physical weakness is always going to be there. God can heal you of cancer, but people die of cancer. And this body will never not be under physical limitations. And then there's emotional limitations. We have fear and anger. And God can overcome those. You can conquer fears. You can love. But the tendencies, the emotions will always be there as long as we're in this body. We will have these emotional tendencies. It's a part of the body. Mental. You overthink things. You can't understand everything. We have these limitations, and God can overcome them in areas. He can give you knowledge. He can help you clear your thoughts, give you rest. But you still have a mind that's bent and works this way with its limitations. Spiritually, this body is bound by the law of sin and death. This body is attracted like gravity to sin, to our way. And you know what? You can overcome that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. But this body will always have a bent toward that. You'll never have a different tendency. You'll have your spirit and you'll be attracted to the things of the Lord, but your physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental handicaps and limitations will always be present in this body. But one day we'll get a new body and all of that will end and change. But along the way, there are certain things, and I look at my sin and I get frustrated sometimes when I see it reoccurring. Now, I'm never going to get to the point where pride and lust and greed and disrespect and anger and bitterness are totally not an issue and I'll never do anything again wrong. Never. But God doesn't want me to be under and struggle with these things. He wants to give me victory as He wants to give us all victory over sin. To live in the Spirit, to walk according to the Spirit. And I see myself fail in the same area again and again. And I get frustrated with the cycle. Man. And then you know what's even worse? When I see a specific area and it seems to get worse. It seems to almost like Pharaoh mature. That's really frustrating. I don't want that. So, as I say, how are the cycles of life affecting you? I'm conscious of how they're affecting me. And I would encourage us all to start afresh today, knowing that God's word is true. And many of these areas, these cycles, one day, and it might be today, the walls are going to come down. Pharaoh is going to let you go and drive you out altogether. One day, the cycles are going to break and there's going to be change. We can see examples of cycles in nature and all around us. We can also see examples of cycles breaking and change. Breakthroughs, differences. It happens. And God has promised you and I certain things. And they will come to pass. And as the cycles occur and it doesn't happen, doesn't mean it won't. It will. I encourage us all to start today, renew our hope and believe God is going to make His word good. He's going to be true to His word. What He says will come to pass. He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus. To believe, to hope, not give up. It's coming. He's coming. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Believe, not give up. Continue to be obedient. Yeah, I've tried to do that a million times. And I'm gonna do it again. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But I keep confessing and you forgive me and then I do it again. So what are you going to do? Be like the unjust servant and beat your fellow servant, stop confessing your sins? That's not the way to go. You know where that road leads? To death, destruction, irrational choices and decisions. No, I want to keep obeying. Let's, starting today, continue to obey. God, the cycles are frustrating, but I want to obey. I want to believe. Let's try to recognize the purpose in it. He'll show us. God is good, and He doesn't, He shows us a little bit at a time. He won't tell us the end. He won't tell us how many plagues. He won't give us all of the details. But He wants to show us something new every day. And He'll begin to reveal to us the purpose. This is why I've led you down this road. This is the reason. And oh, there's so much joy in that and hope in that. Helps so much. Every little bit we learn makes a big difference. He will bring victory in His timing. One of these cycles will be the last of its kind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to You. We know that You hear us when we pray. We thank You, Lord, for Your word and Your promises. We know that it's truth. It's real. We've prayed many things, many times. And yet, Lord, we still believe. In the garden, as an example, the Lord Jesus prayed 3 times the same thing. Lord, we pray for patience and perseverance. We pray that You'd forgive us for our hard hearts. You'd soften us. Help us, Lord, to forsake our own way. Help us to follow You. Help us to believe, no matter how many times and how long it takes. Help us to obey. Be gracious and merciful to us. Lord, accomplish Your purpose in us. Mold us and shape us and change us. Bless us. Lord, we look forward to the day when we'll be given a glorified body and all the cycles will end. All any cycle for that causes frustration or pain or limitations. But Lord, help us to stay faithful during our lifetime here on earth. Glorify You and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.